Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:08 on a Thursday, final day of the All-Star break. Twins back at it, and they've got a tough road out of the break. Three in Houston, and then they come home to take on the Yankees for three at Target Field. They host Detroit. Then they travel to L.A. to play the Dodgers. So a couple of clubs right out of the gate that have won 60-plus games here at the All-Star break. Pleased to be joined by Mike Berardino, who covers the Twins for the Pioneer Press. Mike, how you been?
Doing well, Steve. How are you?
Very good. Miami and that ballpark. What do you think?
I'm fine with not being in it anymore. It's kind of cool to cover the All-Star game, but yeah. I used to work down there, and I saw it in its first year in 2012. I never liked the home run doodad out in left center, and the noise really ricochets. It's a place that was probably built for the usual crowds they have, which are very small and quiet. But you put 37,000 in there, and it's a noise box. It's headache inducing, but still pretty cool stuff. The home run derby was exciting from a Twins fan perspective, I'm sure, with Sano, and he made a good run at it. And then the game itself, all three Twins get to be in it and in the middle innings and do some things. Irvin would rather have not given up the home run, but Hensler with a 1-2-3 inning, amazing story, and Sano with a gift loop RBI single for the first run, and it was good.
Yeah, and Mike, I'm sure you have ties down there. Who's going to ultimately own the Marlins?
Well, I'm not going to break it here on your show, but because I don't have it. But yeah. But I do think it feels like that George Moss of MasTec Industries down there. He's a multi-billionaire, and he's local, and he's Latino, and that's what people in South Florida have wanted really from the beginning. From Wayne Huizenga to John Henry to Jeffrey Loria, they probably, this guy checks a lot of boxes, and a baseball fan, and just to, when they do finally finish it off, just to go from the Depression era of Loria, everything since the 2003 World Series pretty much has been is blown up on them, to new ownership, they will be a sleeping giant.
Yeah, and ultimately, I would assume this owner would then make some changes to the park as well.
Yeah, well, that, I joked about that on Twitter, that that'll be the first thing whoever takes over. Probably especially if it were Jeter's group, but the people who would be purists about baseball, the first thing you do is take out a Craigslist ad and put that home run feature up for it as a free giveaway. Any first person to come haul it away can have it, because it's considered art. They paid, I believe, $250,000 for that that thing, and then they weren't even really using it during the home run derby. It's like, if it can shoot off water and it spins around and the ball's going over the fence, why isn't it doing those things? So I was confused by that, but they used it sporadically. I'm confused by a lot of things, Steve. You know that.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Sanoa's performance, and you brought it up. I thought he would do well on that stage. I didn't know he'd get all the way to the finals. But it was an opportunity for fans around the country, and for that matter around the world, who tuned into the game, to get a feel for this guy. And Miguel Sano is a very likable character.
Sure is. Yeah, we've known that. And the fact that he's worked so hard on his English and wants to be able to communicate in his second language, and does so on TV and in print interviews, that's, I give him a lot of credit. The joy that he plays with, and the massive power that was on display there. He was the very first one to step in there. And there were a lot of oohs and ahs right from the beginning. I'm not sure everybody was fully prepared for, how many 440-plus foot homers he would hit to earn the bonus time, as they did it. And You know, he enjoyed it greatly, and no shame in losing to Aaron Judge, who, as Sano said, is an animal and a monster. And the 30 homers so far show, even with a juiced ball, Aaron Judge at 6'7", you know, 270 or whatever, he really is something else. Really, they could have gone straight from home run derby to sumo round. Maybe if there had been a tie, they could have broken it with Sano versus Judge sumo wrestling. And I they would have had the record ratings.
Yeah, they are big boys. And the rematch coming up at Target Field Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The Twins have to be thrilled by that. I'm sure tickets are going to be tight for that three-gamer.
Well, it should be. Yeah. Yankees on the road coming to the Twin Cities, only time all year. And the fact that it's, you know, school is out, but it is an early week series, that might hurt a little bit. But, yeah, usually pretty raucous crowds for the Yankees. And, you know, I'm sure Twins fans are tired of losing out to the Yankees. They've seen it enough in October, and then Sano has to go through that again in this home run derby. But, no, that should be fun. And there could be Bartolo Colon on Tuesday, Steve, depending on how he gets through his one rehab start. If they decide to just make it one up there at Rochester tonight, they do have an opening for a fifth starter as soon as Tuesday. And that would just really put it off the charts.
And Mike, I was thrilled because when I was getting ready to eat lunch at my other job today, I saw a story pop in. Five things Minnesota Twins need to stay in contention. And we won't spill all the beans. I've already directed folks to the website, twincities.com, to sneak a peek or pick it up in the paper. But really, Twins fans ultimately at this point are focusing on, can they hang in there?
Well, I'm glad that I made your lunch hour.
Oh, yeah,
I'm sure what you were eating at lunch, but for me to be in the conversation of why you had a good lunch hour is really encouraging. Thank you. we can spill the beans a little bit. You know, I want to point out these are not guarantees. I'm not saying that if these five things do happen, they will stay in contention, because, right, yes, a lot of things have to go right. But one of the first things you already alluded to, that they need to get off to a fast start here, it seems obvious, but the timing going out of the break of these very difficult opponents, the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers, three of the first four opponents are combined 67 games over 500, combined plus 325 in run differential. The Twins are minus 60 in run differential. So they're seeing the very high quality opponent. And these games all lead right up to the trade deadline, where Derek Falvey and Thad Levine will be sifting through tea leaves and watching this team closely, and really having to be ready to go in any of three possible outcomes. That would be buy, sell, or hold. They could do any of those three, and I don't know that they'll be certainly, I don't think they'll be massively buying, but I don't think they'll be massively selling. This team has earned a right to see what happens. The Indians, one of the other key components, those five things to watch, is that the rest of the division, especially Indians and Royals. Royals have been red hot now for a couple of months, and something like 34 and 20 in that span, and the Twins saw them up close. They are looking like they did for a couple of years when they won the pennant. But the Indians have been sputtering, and the Terry Francona health problems were part of it. The pitching has been a surprising part of it, and their clutch hitting has not been good, bottom five in the game. So all those things have given the Twins a little reason to think that even just barely sticking their head above 500, that they should see where this goes.
Yeah, now they're not going to go out and make a move like the Cubs did today to get Quintana from the South Side White Sox. I mean, that's a big deal for the Cubs, and it seems could be the thing that ultimately allows them to run down the Brewers. Twins aren't going to make a move like that, but you have to think that picking up Bartolo Colon isn't going to be enough.
No, and that was just kind of a get me through this, yeah. Or maybe it was a thing where the analytics hit them between the eyes, because you can talk yourself into this Colon thing. 360 batting average on balls in play is an indication of poor luck. His ground ball rate is still very good. His fastball velocity is still about what it should be. His weight is roughly the way it always is, so that's good, because he's still pitching fat, and he should. But I will say that there will be pieces out there to be had. Maybe more, if there is a rental, it might be a lower-cost relief rental. There's always a handful of guys that will move right at the deadline. I think they'd prefer to see those improvements come in-house, and that was another of the three another of the five things that we looked at as possible ways that must happen for the Twins to stay in contention. I'm pointing to Ryan Pressly. Yes, I'm pointing at him right through the radio. He needs to be what he can be, which is a dominant setup man at least, and possibly the heir apparent at closer to Kinsler. And I could see a scenario where Brandon Kinsler, career journeyman, 32 years old, free agent at the end of the year. Maybe the Twins kind of play both sides of this and of this arbitrage situation, and they ship Kinsler out if someone wants to overpay, and they elevate Pressly, or maybe they bring in somebody else's rental who didn't have the best first half, and they kind of split the difference, kind of the way Billy Beane has done it at times when his teams have been in these situations. The A's are not in contention this year. They're going to be one of the sellers, and Sonny Gray of the A's is a guy that the Twins should investigate because he is under control through arbitration for a couple of years to come, and he's not at his peak value. There will be other pieces like that. The Quintana deal was too pricey. The Cubs did, because they are solidly in their window. Imagine that, Cubs trying to repeat and kind of sputtering themselves. But they gave up probably their top two prospects. People I've talked to already today about that were pretty impressed at what the White Sox were able to get, and that affects the Twins in the coming years, no doubt, because the White Sox system is now right up there with the Dodgers and the Cubs and anybody else as you can think of that has a top five system.
You know, it's funny you brought up Brandon Kinsler, because I had a chance to visit with Mel Antonin on the radio, and I've known Mel for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm a South Dakota guy. And he brought up the Nats, and they're coveting bullpen help, and they've got the minor leagues pretty well stocked. Maybe the Nats would overpay for Brandon Kinsler. I mean, now that you bring it up.
They certainly should, a guy like that. The thing working against dealing Kinsler at the peak of his value is Twins fans have come to love this guy, I believe, and appreciate his reliability. But he, on paper, he's not going to wow an opposing team that, unless the scout that comes in to see him it just insists on having him. But he does run it up there at 94 to 95, which I don't think a lot of people realize. However, he does not miss bats. It's a career 5.5 strikeouts per nine innings by comparison, Craig Kimbrell, who's probably the best closer in the game right now of the Red Sox, he strikes out 15.5 per nine innings. So they're doing it. They're both getting the job done just about every single time. Kinsler's second in the league in saves, but he doesn't do it in the way the modern closer does it, which is take the ball out of play completely. You could basically toss your glove on the ground when Kimbrell comes in the game. It's going to be a strikeout or a walk. And unless it's Eduardo Escobar slapping a curveball the other way at Fenway, which is pretty cool at the end of a 12-pitch at-bat. One of the best at-bats of the year that I've seen.
Mike, get back to the division a little bit. One of the things you brought up, Cleveland doesn't look like they're poised to run away. Kansas City's been surging a little bit. Detroit, the White Sox, they don't look like they're going to do anything. I mean, This division is within reach that you can make a case that the Twins, based on that, can stay in it.
Here's the interest. I can't disagree with that. The Tigers are going to break it down. They're out of their age window. They're looking maybe to trade Verlander. I mean, Miguel Cabrera in the offseason could go. I mean, they may really break it down. The White Sox, like we say, are fully in rebuild mode, and the Royals are the ones to fear. But the Indians have plenty of talent, and Derek Falvey knows all that talent. No doubt has tremendous respect, and no doubt that the way modern front offices do this is they try to project total wins for not just their team but for their opponents. They update these metrics, these analytics throughout the year, and the Indians must have looked like a 95-win team on any algorithm at the start of the year, and they can't possibly look like much less than a 92-win team on paper, but the game's not played on paper or in an algorithm, and something has been missing for them to this point. It's not as simple as Mike Napoli is now in Texas batting 180 or whatever he is, but he did run a mean card game before the game. Edwin Encarnacion is too good a proven product to struggle or to have that offense be what it is. Kipnis is back on the DL. He's not been what he has meant to them over the last few years. They can't keep him in the lineup. So there is a window. There is an opening, but it's going to be very interesting how the Twins approach it. My gut says they will be very wary, regardless of what the record or the standings show for themselves or for the Indians and the Royals. I think there'll be great respect for those two foes and a sense that even one particular pitching move, unless it were Verlander, and they're not in that mode. They're not going to take on that money, and they're not going to empty the farm system, as the Tigers want both to happen. I don't know that it's going to be anything earth-shattering. If they can get a controllable starting pitcher that they can take into the coming years and plug into the middle of their rotation, won't necessarily have to be a one or a two. I think they feel like if they keep Irvin around, they keep Berríos, obviously, for a long time. They've got those. But somebody who can do more than eight innings, provide quality, high-quality innings, quality starts would be nice. They've struggled for those. Then they're talking, and they might dip into a farm system that is still pretty deep, even with a number of injuries, especially on the pitching side.
All right, Mike, finally, Joe Mauer, a chance he returns in Houston in this series?
That's their hope. I haven't been around those guys since the weekend because of the All-Star stuff, and I haven't heard anything fresh on that. The Saturday is the first time that they could. That was the hope. But it's a back, and he was in agony. I saw the way he limped out of that clubhouse on the Wednesday night when it became obvious what he was dealing with. So they're not going to rush it. I do think it could take into the next week. I'm not reporting that at this moment, but my gut would tell me that the back is not something you're going to rush into, and they are pretty well covered otherwise, and maybe they wait until the homestand. Start of the homestand would be the best case. I say that he's probably going to be activated on Saturday, but that would be good news for them. But you know, that was he really tweaked that thing, and it has bothered him in the past, not since really that we've known since 2014, but it can be an issue, and he is 34.
All right, Mike, always great. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Anytime.
All right, there he is. Mike Berardino covers the Twins for the Pioneer Press. Always entertaining and a good read. TwinCities.com. Five things Minnesota Twins need to stay in contention. And it starts tomorrow night in Houston. Three big games with the Astros. Then back home to Target Field with the Yanks and Aaron Judge Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. 7:24 here on Sports to the Max. Sports to the Max here on a Thursday night. Mike was in earlier today. Highlights available at play.it. He was sitting in for Chad between noon and 3. So go to play.it, search Chad Hartman, and then you'll find Mike's stuff on the show today. Mike's in tomorrow, 3 to 6, so if you want that Mike Max fix. If you haven't heard, Gorgui Dieng will play in the NBA's Africa game next month in Johannesburg. He will play for Team Africa, and Team Africa is made up of players that were either born on the continent or second-generation Africans, and Dieng was born in Senegal, so Gorgui will be playing in that game. Venus Williams has reached the Wimbledon final for the 9th time in her great career, and considering what she was dealing with, she went over to the All England Club. That car accident, a man died in another car. They're still trying to sort out just exactly what happened. But apparently the police down in Florida have released that maybe Venus Williams wasn't at fault in this situation. So considering all of that leading up to Wimbledon, she gets all the way to the final, and she will take on Garbine Muguruza for the title on Saturday. The gentlemen's semifinals are tomorrow. Roger Federer still alive, and he is a crowd favorite in or at Wimbledon, and certainly one of my favorites, one of the all-time greats. He won the Australian Open earlier this year, and now the door is open for him to win another Wimbledon title. And I brought it up with Mike Berardino, the Pioneer Press, but a big trade in the majors. The Cubs pick up ace Jose Quintana from the White Sox. How about that? The Sox send a guy up the red line to help the Cubs, and that could be a huge boost for them. Their starting pitching has been not good this year. They have just been in a funk, 43-45, trailing the Brewers by 5.5 games. And still no news on that Knicks Rockets trade. Carmelo Anthony reportedly going to Houston. No deal is imminent. We'll see about that. It is 7:30 here at CCO. We've got a whole lot more coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
7:34 here, Sports to the Max. Coming up at about 7:40, Barkley Cruz will join us from the National Sports Center in Blaine. It is the calm before the storm. The largest annual youth soccer tournament in the hemisphere is coming to town. It's time for the 33rd annual Schwann's USA Cup. The event brings thousands of people into town, and it has a huge economic impact on the area. So we'll find out who, what, why, where, when, and how of the Schwann's USA Cup coming up in a few minutes with Barkley Cruz. I mentioned they're playing down in the Quad Cities PGA Tour, the John Deere. A lot of the big names are already headed across the pond to tee it up in the Open Championship beginning next week in England. Tim Herron is playing, just his fourth start this year. And, of course, Tim Herron has four PGA Tour victories on his resume. And I was just wondering, you know, he doesn't play a ton. Like I say, he's playing at the John Deere this week and struggled with a 5 over 76 today. But if you look up his numbers at PGATour.com, he's played in 534 PGA Tour events. He's made the cut in 355 of those. And if you think about Lumpy's career, 4 wins, 7 second-place finishes, 6 third-place finishes, 59 top tens in his career, but you are not going to believe the dollar amount. His career earnings on the PGA Tour, this is astonishing to me. $19,103,000 Tim Herron has made in his, this is from PGA Tour. I am not making this up. So I thought, oh, here's a guy who's kind of biding his time until he can go out on the Champions Tour. Because as a former PGA Tour winner, I'm sure he's going to have an opportunity to play out on the Champions Tour at some point. But Tim Herron has won $19 million in his... That doesn't even seem possible. But there it is. But when you've made 355 cuts and 59 top 10 finishes and 4 wins... That's pretty good. I'm impressed. It is 7:37 here at CCO. 23 minutes now in front of 8. Coming up in a moment, we'll get the lowdown on the 33rd annual Schwann's USA Cup coming to 7:39 here at CCO. Steve in for Mike tonight. Dan Cook, our studio coordinator. So I dug into Tim Herron and his career earnings. Do you know where $19,103,000 puts you? 70th. On the career earnings list on the PGA Tour. Goes without saying, Tiger Woods. You're not going to believe this. Tiger, and he hasn't played in a while, and who knows if he'll ever play again. $110 million. And this is an official money. This is an endorsement money. This is just earned money out there on tour. Phil is next at $83 million. Vijay Singh, third at 70. Jim Furyk, fourth, $67 million. And the Big Easy, Ernie Els, fifth at $48 million. Now, the old-timers, they're nowhere near the top of this list. Get this, Jordan Spieth, what is he, 22, 23 years old? He's just a kid. Jordan Spieth has made over $30 million already. Wow. That's real money. You talk about the NBA, the NFL, the major leagues. Woo. These golfers do a lot. I mean, I knew they made good money, but, man, that is astonishing. Speaking of a guy who makes great money, Barkley Cruz, National Sports Center in Blaine. Barkley, how you been?
Steve, you know, $19 million, that's just chump change to us in sports media, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm kind of surprised these guys will even go out and play golf for that kind of money.
I know. It's it's staggering. Hey, I have a quick pro golf trivia thing for you.
Sure.
I grew up in Seattle, and my dad was an avid golfer, and I remember when I was maybe 13 or 14 years old, him taking me to what was then called the Greater Seattle Open, back when PGA Tour events were called such quaint names as that. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer all played in that same tournament, and I saw them all.
How about that? Well, that is a good memory.
Anyway, let's talk soccer.
Yeah, for sure. 33rd annual Schwann's USA Cup coming to town, and I'm sure you have your rest. The staff is ready to go, and all those volunteers are ready to go. This is a huge event and generates a ton of money for the Twin Cities area, pumps a lot of money into the economy, and is a great time.
Yeah, we are, like you said, 33 years old this year. I checked it this morning. This is actually my 26th, so I've been through a few of these. It's not actually very calm right now. We are checking in teams for games that are going to start at 7:50 tomorrow morning. So we are welcoming lots of teams. 1,168 teams this year. We will be having pretty much every day about 25,000 people a day on the National Sports Center campus. They're not all there at once. I say this every year, so people don't go out and try to count them all. They come and go depending on their game schedule, but that's about how many show up every single day. And $33 million of economic impact for the state of Minnesota. It's a lot of out-of-state money coming in. Sports people spend real money.
Yeah, and these aren't just teams from the area, and there are plenty of teams from the area and the region, but literally teams from all over the world. That's really a great part of that, and a great opportunity for the young people here to meet other young people from around the world.
For sure. We have 15 countries represented this year. No new countries, interestingly enough. We do have some new kind of twists. We have, for the first time ever, we have a team from the Big Island of Hawaii. We have a girls' team from Spain. It's the first year we've had a first time a team from Spain in a number of years. And we have a referee from Pakistan. That's the first time we've had that country represented among the referee corps. 17 states are going to be here this year. I checked it. We have had, over the years, 48 of the 50 states represented at USA Cup. The only two states that we need to nab to fill it out would be Maine and Rhode Island. And I'm kind of on a personal mission to do that in the next few years.
Yeah, you got to get on that. So send some invites out.
We've got some leads, certainly in Rhode Island. We'll see if that comes through next year.
All right, still working on Maine. Now, festivities begin, as you pointed out, games tomorrow. But this thing really continues well into next week.
Right. We've had a weekend tournament Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Take a day off on Monday. Start again on Tuesday and run through Saturday. Our big opening ceremonies is Tuesday evening, and we're kind of really excited about this feature. The Navy Leapfrogs parachute team will be participating in opening ceremonies. So these guys are awesome. These are not just amateur skydivers. These are the real deal. They're going to be jumping into the stadium full of kids.
Yeah, and over the years, I know the Schwann's USA Cup has had to deal with hot, humid weather. Now we have a great day. The soccer players would have loved playing today, but it's going to warm up in a hurry, and we'll be around 80 tomorrow. Should be great, but then hot and humid on Saturday. But you're well prepared for that, aren't you, Barkley?
We deal with hot weather pretty much every year. We've gotten very good at managing it. We, of course, safety is our first priority. We will do things such as shortening up the games by a little bit, adding water breaks. On two occasions, actually, we suspended play for several hours. Last year we did it once. We knew several days ahead of time it was going to hit. And so we planned ahead. We started early in the morning, earlier than normal. It took about 3 hours, I believe, off in the afternoon and restarted. And we got really high marks from our customers for being proactive about managing the heat. And so it's we feel pretty confident about it, but it needs to be said that safety is absolutely number one for us.
All right. How has the National Sports Center changed? Because I know you're always doing new things out there every year. Anything new for 2017?
Well, it absolutely. This is going to be, there's going to be some new things this summer, and we're saying it's a short-term discomfort for major long-term gain at the Sports Center. We are partnering with the Spring Lake Park School District. They're building an elementary school on our campus. It's a major construction project. So we have lost some parking. There is enough parking to handle this tournament. The problem is, if you've been to these big tournaments, everyone wants to park right next to their kid's field. And that's just not always possible. But we're building the school, or the Spring Lake Park School District is building the school. What's awesome in the future is that that building will become the tournament headquarters. And when you think about what we need to run a major tournament like this, a school facility is absolutely perfect for housing things like team check-in, medical center, media center, medical. Everything we need is in that school, and we can operate out of classrooms. And so it's going to be just perfect, but it's going to be a year away.
Yeah, and what's great about that, though, Barkley, schools generally aren't used all that much in the summer, so perfect fit out there, and I'm sure they'll be able to take advantage of the facilities at the Sports Center as well for FIAD, et cetera.
That's exactly right. It's a real good fit. It brings over 600 children onto our campus during the day on school days when we're normally fairly quiet, and then we'll keep the building busy during the summer. The other thing we're excited about is the chance to involve all those families who have kids at the school in great events like USA Cup. And what a great opportunity for a family to get involved with international visitors and learn about international cultures.
I know we should give Schwann's, Great Minnesota Company, some credit for not only being a sponsor of this event, but a major sponsor of the Sports Center in Blaine.
They're our biggest single sponsor. We're really proud to have been working with them since well into the 1990s. In addition to sponsoring Schwann's USA Cup, they are the title sponsor of the Schwann Super Rink and our major Schwann Cup hockey tournament in December. Hometown, homegrown company, and they, make a huge investment in one of Minnesota's major events.
Yeah, so good for them. By the way, all the volunteers, you can't do it without the volunteers. We talked about the number of teams and the number of young athletes that'll be in town competing in the tournament. But, man, the volunteers as well, Barkley, this is a great story in itself.
Well, we have a handful of volunteers that go all the way back to the beginning of the tournament in 1985.
Wow.
Obviously, there's not too many of them left, but there are some. And some of them still pull, Ironman work shifts at the tournament. We have volunteers who put in more hours at this tournament than I do. And I still, shake my head about that. I'm still amazed at it. The volunteer corps is great. And we have some of them who have made friendships with other volunteers over the years. Some of them only see these friends once a year at USA Cup. And that's kind of the reason they keep coming back. We have over 1,000 volunteers. Couldn't do it without them.
Now, is this still the biggest youth soccer tournament in the hemisphere?
Yeah, there's three tournaments in Europe that are bigger. They're all in Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. We're the fourth largest in the world. We're for sure the biggest in the Western Hemisphere. If we can add a few more fields to our campus, which we'd like to do in the next few years, we can grow a little bit. We are kind of landlocked right now, and so we're kind of we're 10 teams short of our record, which you set last year, and that's about all we can handle right now with the number of fields we have.
All right. Well, Barkley, it's always great. Once again, get your rest. You'll need it. Busy, busy times up at the Sports Center in Blaine. The Schwann's USA Cup getting started. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, there he is. And the website, usacup.org, usacup.org. 7:51 here at CCO. It's Maplewood Toyota time. When you need a new car or truck, it's time to check out MaplewoodToyota.com first. Sports to the Max here on a Thursday night. Steve in for Mike. He was in earlier today between noon and 3. Highlights at play.it. That's true for all the programs here on CCO. Go to play.it. We'd love you to come downtown and donate some blood as part of the Aquatennial Blood Drive. CCO, along with the American Red Cross and the Minneapolis Aquatennial, need your help saving lives. Join us a week from tomorrow for the Aquatennial Blood Drive. You can give blood here at CCO Radio, 625 2nd Avenue South from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. As a thank you, everyone who comes out will receive a special gift from the Red Cross while supplies last. We've got to throw that in there for sure. Please help those in need this summer along with WCCO Radio, the American Red Cross, and the Aquatennial. So that is here at CCO 1 week from tomorrow between 9 and 3 o'clock. Big trade in MLB. If you haven't heard, the Cubs acquired A's Jose Quintana from the White Sox. They gave up 4 prospects. Mike Berardino said maybe the Cubs' top 2 prospects in that deal. They trail Milwaukee by 5.5 games in the NL Central Division. The Brewers acquired left-handed reliever Tyler Webb from the Yankees for a minor leaguer. And the Rays have placed injured outfielder Colby Rasmus on the restricted list after the player's decision to step away from the game. The team did not provide any specifics, instead of saying in a brief statement that the club fully supports the player deciding to leave. Respecting the privacy of Colby and his family, the Rays say they'll have no further comment. Rasmus signed with Tampa Bay as a free agent last winter, has been on the 10-day DL since June 23rd with left hip tendonitis. So how about that? Big story out of England. Venus Williams has advanced all the way to the final on Saturday. Garbin Muguruza will play Venus for the title on Saturday morning, our time. Williams, 9-1 in her career in Wimbledon semifinals. And she beat hometown favorite Johanna Konta. She was hoping to become the first British woman to reach the final since Virginia Wade won it in 77. By the way, at 37, Williams is the oldest Wimbledon finalist since Martina Navratilova was the 94 runner-up at that age. So Venus Williams trying to win another Grand Slam, and with her sister away from the game, expecting her first child, certainly the door is open for Venus. You have to wonder how many Grand Slams Venus Williams would have won had her sister chosen another sport. Maybe decided to play golf or something. Because Venus, great player in her own right. And then, of course, Serena, maybe the greatest women's player in the history of the game. NHL news, they are winding down development camp for the Minnesota Wild. Some of the prospects were in town. Who's the name of that Badger who's signed with the Wild? Luke Kunin? Yeah, he's in town. Wrapping up development camp. But there is other NHL news. Carolina Hurricanes owner Peter Karmanos Jr. is considering selling the team. But don't get excited, Seattle. Don't get excited, Kansas City. Don't get excited, Quebec City. The potential new owner says he's going to keep the team right there in Raleigh, that hockey hotbed, Raleigh, North Carolina. It sounds like former Texas Rangers CEO Chuck Greenberg may buy the team, and the price, $500 million. U.S. Women's Open underway. They're playing at Trump National in Bedminster, New Jersey. And there is speculation when the president gets back from France that he may visit the tournament and visit the club. We'll see. Shan Shan Feng is your leader at 6 under par. Amy Yang, one back. Lydia Ko leading a group 2 off the lead after one round of the U.S. Women's Open. And I think you're up to date on the sports headlines here at News Radio 830 WCCO. We'll tell you the weather. And the weather tonight, cloudy, cool. The lows in the upper 50s. Winds out of the north at 5 to 10. Pretty good sleeping weather. And then coming up tomorrow, a whole lot better, sunny and a high near 80. And then Saturday, downright hot, humid, and a high around 90 degrees. Sneak peek at Sunday. Sunny skies, a little cooler, highs in the lower 80s, upper 80s again on Monday, so it'll feel more like July. Today, downright.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.